for two. Kickers are extra, I give them the boot. Ooh, going for two. Sit back, relax while I grab me a brew. Ooh, now I'm reclining while putting my time and I'm ready to go. My spine is aligning and much like my lineups, my bank account grow. I am so rich, but knowledge is all that I'm leaving it with. Ooh, listen to this. Multiple options, how far can I get? Ooh, DFS Dynasty redraft tonight, I'm not finishing last. I'm finishing past any and all, I am looking to last.
What else?
This spot is popping and I am so locked in, and only opening the door when it is opportunity knocking. And all of these spots keep on talking and talking. So what are we talking? What kind of alignment and running it deep? Even players forgotten or came from the bottom or hitting that topping. And this spot is popping, yeah, this spot is popping. And woo! This is the arm chat, yeah. Put up your arms, yeah. Sound the alarm, yeah.
What is going on, guys, and welcome to episode 327 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I am your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Of course, we are live every Wednesday night on Facebook Live, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch, syndicated on all major podcast networks. And, of course, we are part of the Going for Two Live podcast network. If you're on Twitter right now, we cannot see your comments, so go find us on YouTube at youtube.com/@goingfortwolive. I'm here with my co-host after his 1 week hiatus, Mr. Ryan Searfoss. What's up, Ryan?
Good to be back, man. It was weird. It was weird not podcasting last week.
It was funny because, like, I mentioned on the show that I think you've missed fewer shows than I have over the years.
Yeah, dude, I don't miss.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time you missed a show. I think there was one other time where you were really sick, but you still powered through it.
Yeah, I think I podcasted with COVID. Even though I probably could have got you guys all sick. I think that's how the internet works.
Yeah, exactly how it works. All right, joining us tonight for the first time, Mr. Chu Russell. He is a writer and ranker at Going for Two, and you can find him on Twitter at Father Dynasty. What's up, Chu?
How you doing, Jeff? Glad to be on. And like I was saying before here, you know, first chance to actually, you know, meet you, I guess, video to video since joining the GF2, so glad to be on.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We're glad to have you. So real quick, I know you're kind of new in the industry, but give us a quick rundown of what it is you do. I think you got a podcast that you do as well, right?
Yeah, so over at YouTube, I have a Father Dynasty channel, and I've got the Father Dynasty podcast, which is, you know, Fatherhood, Dynasty, Fantasy Football kind of coming together. But what I'm doing as of more recently is the FF Perspective, which is a weekly fantasy football show I do with two of my buddies. That we talk dynasty, you know, news, strategy, trades, you know, whatever's relevant at the time. So
good stuff, man. Good stuff. All right. Let's get to some, let's pay some bills and then we'll get to some news and notes here. Today's show is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Check out the industry-leading best ball leagues with huge tournaments, private leagues, and pick'ems for all major sports. Sign up using our promo code GF2 and get a deposit match up to $100. It's as simple as that. Sign up, use promo code GF2 and start drafting your best ball teams. So tonight we're going to have a great show here. We're doing what I call the three B's: bounce back, breakouts, and busts. We'll do some news and notes. But as always, we'll kick it off here with the nonsense draft.
Attention, everyone. Let's mock draft.
All right. In honor of the Scott Fishbowl 13, who the theme this year is restaurants, we're going to be drafting the best chain restaurants or fast food that if you had to eat it for the every day for the rest of your life, which one would you want to eat from? So as always, the guest gets to go first. So you got the 101 here, Chu.
So this one's pretty easy for me. This one's near and dear to my heart because I did work there for a couple of months in my college days. So I'm going with Chick-fil-A.
Mm.
And I actually got to, when I worked there, that was when they came out with the Chick-fil-A sauce. And when I tell you I got sick of it in a week, I'm being honest, but after some time off of it, I'm back on. So
nice. Yeah, so I love Chick-fil-A, and that was one of my choices as well. That's my fast food place of choice. The only reason why I didn't go with them as my first pick is because I wanted some variety in Chick-fil-A.
So you'd starve on Sundays.
Yeah, and you'd starve
on Sundays. Already eating leftovers.
I'm just doing 24-hour fast, that's right.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so I'm up here at the 102, and like I mentioned, I'm going with variety, trying to get a little bit of everything that I can, and I don't know how widespread these places are, but we definitely got a couple of them here in Washington and in Virginia. And it's called Not Your Average Joe's. And it's got a lot of American foods. It's got a good mixture. It's got, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings type stuff. It's got, I mean, it's just a good place to hang out, and it's a kind of a sports bar theme on top of that, so you get a little bit of everything. So that's what I would go, Not Your Average Joe's. That way I can have some variety in my life.
That's a good one. That's definitely a good sports bar feel. I think I used to live in Reston. They had one in the town center. It was very solid.
Nice. Good stuff. All right, Ryan, you are at the 103.
Yeah, I'm going with the same idea. I'm not going to the place that I love. I'm going to a place that gives me a variety. And I'm talking a place that has a 20-page menu and over 250 items on the menu. And that's the Cheesecake Factory.
I had that on my list.
You're basically reading the book of Moby Dick to choose your meal. You could essentially eat something different every night for a year and be cool. So I'm going to Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, that's a good choice. And that was on my list as well. And then I only went Not Your Average Joe's because I wanted the sports bar theme feel to everything. All right, we are back to you, Chew.
All right, I think if we're going with variety here, I'm going to have to go with Longhorn Steakhouse.
Great choice.
You know, and I guess if the assumption is I'm not having to pay the bill and I just keep getting free amount of it, then if I'm going caveman, I need some meat, then Longhorn Steakhouse is the way to go.
That's a fair price. I can eat that every day.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, I'm up here at the 105, and I love Italian, so the obvious choice would be Olive Garden, except I actually like
gross.
I like Carrabba's better, so I'm going with Carrabba's Italian Grill, which is similar to Olive Garden, but I think it's a little bit more upscale and has some better food, so that's what I'll take here at the 105. Ryan.
Dude, I just need a sports bar. The food's fine. I don't mind the wings. Buffalo Wild Wings, but it's a great place to watch games. You can hang out there.
Yep.
I could eat wings all the time. Yeah. I'm not going to complain about it.
Yeah, that's a good choice. That was on my list as well. Buffalo Wild Wings, for sure. All right, Chew, this is your last pick here at 106. What you got?
All right, well, at the end of any draft or mock draft, I like to go a little bit off the wall, so... And Jeff, I think you'll appreciate this as a Northern Virginia staple. I'm going to go with On the Border.
Nice.
And that's assuming I get to have also bottomless margaritas. I don't know if that was part of it or not, but I would like that.
Yeah, that's a good choice. We have one of them right here in Woodbridge that we go to a lot. So that's definitely good food for sure. All right, I'm up here with my last pick. And y'all took a lot of the good ones. But I'm going to take, this one's probably not, when you think of good food, you don't really think of this place, but you can eat breakfast food at pretty much any time of the day. So let me go with IHOP. I'm taking IHOP here with my last pick so I can eat breakfast food. All right, Ryan, closes out here at number 9.
See, the issue, I'm trying to think of a pizza place that I don't dislike, that's not sucky, that's a franchise. Because that's the issue. All the franchise ones are just fine. So I've been just debating in my head which ones I can tolerate the most of those. Because you gotta have some pizza in my life. So I'm gonna go Domino's reluctantly over the other ones.
Yeah, I don't mind Domino's. We eat Papa John's a lot. Ever since they changed their sauce, because their sauce used to be too sweet, but they changed their sauce now, and it's much better.
I haven't had Papa John's in decades. Yeah. Like they got rid of all the ones by us.
Oh, you can't even go to one. Gotcha.
That's a struggle right there. No Papa John's.
Yeah,
no, it for sucks. Real.
All right. That wraps up our nonsense draft. Let's go ahead and get in some football stuff here.
News and notes from around the league.
All right. Right at the top here, we'll talk about Mr. DeAndre Hopkins. Of course, he was released a couple weeks ago. You know, he's visited the Titans. I think he visited the Patriots today. And I think the Patriots visit might have been a second visit to the Patriots. But I'm going to go to you first, Chew. First of all, is there anywhere that D-Hop could go where his value would either increase or stay the same as it would with the Arizona Cardinals? Or and then is there a player that would affect a lot if he went to that team?
I mean, when we're thinking of at least two of the places he's been thus far, I think it doesn't really entice anybody in the fantasy space in terms of if he's going to go to either be thrown to by Ryan Tannehill, Will Levis, Mac Jones, or Bailey Zappi.
Yeah,
not good. None of those names are too exciting. So I feel like if it's going to be either him competing with Juju Smith-Schuster or Treylon Burks, neither are great. I think it hurts his value in either one of those. And I know that he did, of course, you know, when he played in Houston, he did deal with some troubling quarterback play when it wasn't Deshaun Watson. So I'm really just seeing, you know, with a couple of these landing spots, it's more of it'll hurt him, and honestly the other receiver opposite him that will be help him out.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be a situation where no matter where he goes, I don't know if we're really going to like it, because we're going to have, you know, if Eden goes to one of those teams that we supposedly liked him to go to, like the Bills or even the Chiefs, which I think the Chiefs are now out on the sweepstakes. It hurts the other players that are on that team. It makes them almost undraftable. So, I mean, except for Stephon Diggs, he'd be the one that I think would be fine. What about you, Ryan? What are your thoughts on D-Hop and where he might end up?
Honestly, I'm not that ecstatic about him anywhere. We're getting to that age range. We've had some issues. He's going for an offensive pass the absolute time. Like, staying in Arizona would have been best case scenario, I feel like, at this point. And I just don't know where he's going to go, where he can be the number one receiver and get that kind of volume. Like, he can go to Tennessee and get and be their number one, but that doesn't mean much.
Yeah, it doesn't mean
same much. With New England. Like, there's nothing there that really moves the needle. It's going to be one of those, if I have, I'm going to wait till he signs somewhere, people get excited to try to trade him. Or just, if I don't, just kind of staying out of it.
What if he went back to Houston? Are you interested in that?
That's not a bad landing spot, honestly, because they're not that flush wide receiver. But rookie quarterback, who knows how it's going to work out.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's move over to a running back that's been in the news recently. Mr. Saquon Barkley, when asked if he would consider sitting out the season, he said, that's a card I could play. With today's CBA and the way things are contracted, I don't think he's definitely sitting out there. But I think, you know, there's a potential that he holds out through training camp, through preseason. Chu, if you're a Saquon Barkley owner, how worried are you about this?
Honestly, I think probably the two most recent notable players to either sit out or come close to it were Le'Veon Bell, of course, and then I think Melvin Gordon was another one. And I was talking to one of my buddies recently. I think Melvin Gordon even specifically said that was one of his biggest regrets, was actually doing any sort of sitting out to, you know, what are you going to recoup at that point? Yep. Even Le'Veon Bell, like, he ended up getting a good deal for the Jets. But what would he have made if he would have been playing the season before and then, you know, in that season that he ended up coming back? So at a certain point, especially for a running back, the shelf life short, you maximize as much as you can. And I think that Giants offense is going to take a step up even from what they were last year. So I think he'll be back. I think he'll be okay.
Yeah. Ryan, what about you? What are your thoughts here on Barkley?
Yeah, and I hope he sits out all camp and preseason and comes back just in time for the season so he stays healthy, if we're going to be honest. But, I mean, like he said, Lev Bell and then Melvin Gordon, like, holding out of the running back position just doesn't work. We've seen it. And yeah, Le'Veon Bell got a decent contract, but it was the same thing the Steelers offered him. He kind of just went back and he lost that. It's a mistake at that position because it's so replaceable. While Barkley's great, they ain't going to pay him what he wants.
Yeah.
I bet they pay him more, but he's not going to get what he wants, but he'll play. Yeah. I'm not even worried about it.
I think he will play too. He even came out and said that he's not asking to be the highest paid of his position. He's not asking for this huge contract. So I think it eventually gets done, and I think Barkley would be fine. I'm with you, Ryan. If I own Barkley with his injury history, keep him out of all the preseason, everything. Dude, keep him out of all that stuff. Just
leave him out.
And then just let him come back slowly in week one, because I don't want him to come out there and pull a hamstring or something in week one. But yeah, for sure, if I own Barkley, keep him out. All right, let's go to the receiver position. Mr. Elijah Moore, the Athletics' Zach Jackson, came out and said that he is an easy pick for an early breakout based on the Browns spring workout, which we know we can't put a whole lot of stock into the spring workouts. But how excited are you with Elijah Moore here with Cleveland, Ryan?
Oh, dude, I love him there. He was listed as one of the bounce back candidates before I noticed in these notes. So I did that first. But yeah, he's explosive. He's going to work the middle. He does all the things we've seen wide receivers work well with Deshaun Watson for. On an offense that's up and coming with a talented enough quarterback, he's gonna be good there. He's gonna be a complete issue out of the slot. Him and Cooper don't hurt each other at all. I think it's a great opportunity for him.
Nice. What about you, Chu? I saw you shaking your head. You agree with that?
I'm in lockstep. You know, he was a guy coming out of college. He was one of my favorites in his draft class and was just, with how the Jets have mismanaged so many wide receivers, RIP to Denzel Mims, who is somehow still on that roster. I'm just glad that Elijah Moore was able to get out from under that stranglehold over there in New York. And I mean, with them talking about in Cleveland, they're going to ramp up the passing volume, and it's Deshaun Watson now getting a full offseason. He's going to be playing a full season. I think the stars are aligning for Elijah Moore to become maybe what we thought he was going to
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I saw another blurb that was related to this one was Bell and who's the other receiver that they got there? Schwartz. I think they're both sort of on the chopping block that they might not even make the roster, so that helps them out even more. All right, let's close it out here on two running backs. And I'll go to you first, Ryan, on this Dalvin Cook one, that the Broncos are out on Dalvin Cook, which basically leaves the Dolphins as a potential suitor here. What are your thoughts on Dalvin Cook and where he might end up?
Well, I'm glad it's not Denver because it's Javonte Williams season coming back.
I hope you're right.
And the world's just not ready for that yet. But that tells me the Broncos are. Miami makes the most sense, and he'd have the most success in Miami. He would shred in that up in that offense. Like, that scheme's perfect for him. It's one of those dream landing spots where if you held him, it's really worth it for you. But that, I mean, that's the premier one for me. I can't think of somewhere I'd rather him land. Maybe Buffalo, but I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, I think Miami is the choice as well. And I heard a lot of Devin Achane owners are scared of this. And I think, honestly, it helps Devin Achane. I don't think Devin Achane's...
He's a special teams guy. Stop. Everybody just needs to stop.
If he's going to play on the offense, he's going to be like that third down player that's going to come in and spell Dalvin Cook. He's not going to be...
He's a fun toy for an offense. But he's not the dude. Dalvin Cook's a dude.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they would ever use Devin Achane in that role. And I think Dalvin Cook will fill that role. And then you got the two guys in front of him, Mostert and Jeff Wilson, that aren't very... good at staying healthy, so I think, you know, Cook comes in there, and then those two guys can spell him. So what about you, Chi? What's your thoughts on Dalvin Cook?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. I think Miami, of course, is a fantastic spot for him, also because I think with McDaniel being able to show what he could do with those types of running backs in the backfield in that offense, and with Skylar Thompson after Tua went out, that's a huge, huge boon for him being able to join that backfield. And I think since he basically mirrored Shanahan's usage of running backs and not really caring about draft capital or what they're being paid or anything, it's the same. I mean, it with the 49ers, you know, you get CMC as well as these guys like Elijah Mitchell and everybody behind him. That's an unbelievable backfield and system. So in Miami, if you're going to add Dalvin Cook on top of these other guys, you're set. You're good to go.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think Miami makes the most sense. And they tried trading for him, so it just makes sense that they can get something done and get him in Miami. Let's close it out here on a rookie. The News Tribune's Greg Bell said he wouldn't be surprised at the playing time and opportunities that Zach Charbonnet will get this season. So basically implying that he might get a larger workload than even we expect him to get. Ryan, I'm going to go to you because you've been sort of out on Charbonnet. What do you think of this news here?
My opinion hasn't changed. If he gets 40% of the market share, that's awesome. Still enough for Ken Walker to be successful and vice versa. Like, they're a run-heavy offense, even with Geno Smith. So, yes, he's going to have a decent role. Like, you could see two running backs with 200-plus carries there.
Yeah, do you think it's a situation where Charbonnet has value beyond just being a handcuff?
Yes, I think he has independent value. Like, you're not starting every week, but you need a flex play. He's there. I think he can be that.
Definitely. What about you, Chi? What are your thoughts on Sharps?
Yeah, he was one of my favorite backs out of this class. I know he's not necessarily the sexy one. He can do everything pretty well. And I was kind of nervous when he went back to college this past year, just thinking, I don't really know how his value gets better. And I don't know that it got tremendously better, but I know it definitely didn't get any worse in his final season for college. So, I mean, he's in a heck of a backfield again. Ken Walker, I know people have talked about his efficiency this past season, but also, again, he did produce for fantasy, so there's no doubting that at all. So I think that's quite a two-headed monster in that Seattle backfield.
Yeah, I've kind of compared it to Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt Light from a couple years ago. Not quite the talent level of those two guys, but I think that's kind of similar dynamic where I think Sharbs is going to be the passing down back and probably going to be in there quite a bit. And then, you know, Ken Walker's going to be the workhorse back that's going to be in there a lot. So I like the situation. I think both players are going to be useful in fantasy. All right. So as I mentioned at the top, we're going to be doing the three Bs: bounce backs, breakouts, and busts. And we're going to start off here with some bounce back candidates. And Ryan, we will start with you. Give us one of your bounce back candidates.
I'm going with Michael Thomas.
Ooh.
He's actually healthy. He has a quarterback who makes him happy enough where he's going to stay healthy and he wants to be there. Derek Carr has shown that he likes those veteran route runners. And we're only a couple years off of him being an absolute monster. since he's been hurt. Like, his skill set translates into something less in football. I think him and Carr are going to be very good together. Like, he's a better version of that Renfro role in him. Like, him and Olave can still be fine as a 1-2 combo, but Thomas is going to be in line for a ton of targets because he knows how to get open. And he gets open quickly, which is where Carr succeeds the best.
Yeah, that would be like a breakout 2 years in the making, because he's been out for quite a while. So that's a good one there.
Well, this is a bounce back. This isn't a breakout.
Yeah, it's a bounce back. Yeah, so it's a bounce back 2 years in the making, because he missed basically two full seasons.
Yeah.
All right, Chu, what you got for your bounce back?
So this one, I know bounce back is always kind of relative. You know, how far did they fall and how much do you expect them to climb back? So, I mean, my bounce back is Lamar Jackson. You know, I feel like the last couple of years on a per game basis, we've seen him produce still at a pretty tremendous rate. Not quite as, you know, I think it was 2019 MVP season, but he's finished QB 14 last year and, you know, still had some good metrics, especially over his career. I mean, 6.1 yards rushing per attempt. So even in this new Todd Monken offense, surrounding him with a couple more weapons, you know, assuming Bateman's going to be healthy, we can't guarantee that. Flowers, OBJ, not the sexy pairing, but you still have Perche and Duvernay. Of course, I have Andrews. I feel like the kind of stars are finally aligning for Jackson. You know, since having that tremendous season, it's been injuries. It's been, I think, what has been a not tremendous offensive game plan. He's, you know, thrived above it. So I think he's finally going to get a chance to, you know, spread out the ball as much as he possibly can. And I remember his days at Louisville. I think we're going to see a possibly top five finish for Lamar Jackson.
Good stuff. Ryan loves Chew hearing that.
Friend of the show.
Yeah.
Always welcome back.
Yeah, Ryan's a Ravens fan. And I'm about to pump his head up even more because my breakout player is J.K. Dobbins, or my bounce back player is J.K. Dobbins. This is his last four games last year. 15 for 120, 13 for 125, 12 for 59, and 17 for 93. But the kicker is he didn't play more than half of the snaps in those four games. He played 50% in the last game, but it was 43, 38, 42. So he's not even playing a full workload yet, and he's doing those kind of numbers. Depth chart is ugly. Gus Edwards, Keaton Mitchell, Justin Hill. Don't
disrespect the Gus Bus.
I'm not gonna poo-poo Gus Bus, but he's definitely not J.K. Dobbins type talent. And then I went back and looked at the Monken's offense and to see how much he used the running backs in the passing game. But Kenny McIntosh last year caught 43 passes. And then the combo of three running backs the year before caught 58. So they do use the running backs in the passing game, which is something that the Ravens haven't done in the past. In part because of Lamar Jackson likes to just take off into the check down. But I think they scheme up some stuff to the running back more so than they have in the past. So I think J.K. Dobbins showed that he can be an RB1 last year towards the end of the season. If he can stay healthy, I think he's going to be an RB1, low-end RB1 this year as well.
He also, Monken, has all of his running backs have had between 50 and 60% of the attempts through his career, which we've never seen at Greg Roman. Yeah. And that's huge for Dobbins.
Yeah, absolutely. And Greg Roman is the worst for throwing to running backs. We had him at San Francisco, and
I hate him so good. I'm so glad him and his menu for a playbook's gone.
Yeah, I'm like, can we at least get one screen? Wait, we're getting killed. Our quarterback's getting killed. Throw a screen, goddammit. Slow that rush down. Do something.
I just want to pretend that man doesn't even exist.
All right, let's go back around one more time here, Chu. Give me another bounce back candidate.
All right, so this one was actually the first guy I was thinking of. So Antonio Gibson, he's someone who I feel like started off so hot in his first two seasons in Washington. And I know through poor ownership or lack of ownership or illegal ownership, whatever you want to call it, happened there.
All the above.
All the above. And, you know, me being a Panthers fan, I was glad to see them get Riverboat Ron. I thought he was going to stabilize them. And he helped with the culture, but I think with the usage of Gibson, I think it got a bit confusing in my opinion. But now that J.D. McKissic is gone for sure, that was I think 40 targets last year. And I really do think with Eric Bieniemy stepping in as the OC in Washington, I think having someone like Gibson, a big shifty back who can catch the ball, I think, you know, it's not a one-on-one comparison, and I would argue he's probably a better runner, but I mean, if you're going to see someone like Jerick McKinnon getting 70 plus targets and being a fantasy darling at the end of last season, I think it's pretty easy to see someone like Antonio Gibson have that kind of a role, but for the entire season, especially with a rookie quarterback who may be looking to dump off and get some easy completions.
Absolutely. And that's a great choice. And it's kind of crazy because I actually wrote an article just recently for Fantasy Pros that is trying to, the name of the article was RB3s with RB1 potential. And I was looking at those two running backs, Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson, and Gibson's ADP right now is actually higher than Brian Robinson's, which is kind of crazy that you would think that, because you would think of Robinson being the starter. But
I'm the only person who's drafting Brian Robinson apparently in fantasy football.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation because I think Robinson's got the upside of Gibson's got the upside of the pass catching ability as well, which we've seen in the past. So, and without J.D. McKissic being there, that basically is his job. You know, so I think that's a good choice for sure. Ryan, what you got for your next bounce back?
I am taking Cam Akers. My man has finished the season with 4 straight 100-yard games from scrimmage. He was coming off a devastating injury. He struggled early, but that entire offense was just in shambles the entire year. And when they started going to him often at the end of the year, good things happened. Now they get Stafford back. Hopefully they get cut back. Opens up the offense a little bit more. There's not many weapons there. Cam Akers is going to have to get his. And even through his struggles, one thing he's done the entire time has been pretty consistent as a pass catcher. So that's going to help protect Stafford, who's probably going to be running for his life.
Yeah, that's a good choice. I had Cam Akers on my list as well for some of the same reasons that you just mentioned, the way he ended the season, the fact that he was playing a ton of snaps in that offense. And McVay's been a guy that's kind of gone to one running back pretty much exclusively. So I think Akers is definitely wheels up. So my last bounce back here will be Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown. Obviously, no D-Hop. We talked about him in the news and notes sections. And he's really the only viable target that we know for sure that's going to be good. I mean, there's a couple other guys there that have shown flashes but haven't been consistent. And through the first 6 games last year when D-Hop was gone, he had 64 targets. That's almost 11 targets a game. And then he got hurt and is out for 5 games, 6 games, came back. He wasn't quite the same. He was competing with D-Hop, but this year he won't have D-Hop. I know he also won't have Kyler Murray for most of it, but I think Colt McCoy would be the starter there, and I think he's good enough to at least get him the ball. And Brown's always been good at getting separation, and quarterbacks like Colt McCoy can get him the ball in space. I think Brown's going to be just fine. So Marquise Brown is my bounce-back candidate, and hopefully he can stay healthy this year. All right, let's move to some breakouts, Chu. Give me one of your breakout players this week or this year.
All right, so I'll tip my cap to the Michael Thomas reference because I'll go ahead and add Rashid Shaheed to this list. He's someone who, with Derek Carr, you know, joining the fold, I really feel like a big arm like that, you know, if he was able to do so well, Rashid Shaheed last season with, what was it, Andy Dalton, I believe.
Yeah.
I really believe that, you know, someone like Derek Carr can, you know, unlock a bit more of what he had even done last season. And I think, you know, like Ryan, you had said, with if Michael Thomas is coming back into form, doing well, Chris Olave working underneath, you have Rashid Shaheed, who is someone who has shown to be a good deep threat, take the top off of defense. And I know that you don't necessarily, you know, live and die by the deep threats in fantasy. But I think, you know, he was someone who I came onto last season, especially in best ball for a couple of weeks. And I think with a couple of double digit fantasy games, I really feel like he can do that maybe on a bit more consistent basis. Although I know it'll be a bit spotty here and there, but if he can creep into the wide receiver 3 conversation, that'd be great. And especially in dynasty, if he's able to do that, you may be able to trick some people that just look at the end line and say, he scored how many points, and flip him for, you know, I mean, second if you can. So,
yeah, absolutely. He's a great best ball choice. And he's also that player that if you're going up against, like, you look at your matchup and your team is not matching up very well against his team, and he's your ace in the hole, basically. You play him in there and hope that he has that breakout huge game. But yeah, for sure. I think I love Rashid Shaheed as well. I have him in a lot of my teams. And I think, you know, hopefully he can break out this year. And I think the health of Michael Thomas will go a long way to that as well. Ryan, what you got for your breakout here?
I'm taking Evan Engram. He's still going at our tight end 13. And I think this year he makes it in the top 5. We saw the very, very high volume in the playoffs and end of the season when the season really mattered. We saw 15 targets, 10 targets, 11 targets. and it just getting that connection, especially in the red zone, just kept getting stronger with Trevor Lawrence. This offense is only ascending. And while, yes, they got Calvin Ridley back, we'll talk about later, that's still not a red zone threat. And that's what Ingram brings. He could be a 120 target tight end. Like, he could consistently be a week in, week out tight end and finish in that area with George Kittles.
Yep.
And I feel confident with that. I'd feel I'm going to draft him everywhere late. Like, I'm not even drafting that Ingram.
Yeah, he's a great pickup in the Scott Fishbowl too with the scoring this year. He's going pretty late in drafts that I've seen.
He'll be high volume.
Yeah, for sure. I like that pick a lot. I'm going with the wide receiver here, Mr. Jerry Jeudy. Similar to Cam Akers, had a very strong end to his season. His last, I think, four of his last five games, he had at least eight targets. And the one that he didn't have eight targets, he had a career or season high 154 yards. So he really showed out towards the end of the season. I think he can carry that into the following season. As long as he can stay healthy, I think that's the big key, obviously, is to stay healthy. I think the offense gets better with coach's name just escaped me. I can't think of who's the coach right now. Sean Payton. I don't know why I couldn't think of his name. Sean Payton, offense gets better. I think Russell Wilson plays better. The offense in general gets better. And I think Jerry Jeudy is going to be the beneficiary of all that passing volume from Russell Wilson. So I think he's going way too late in drafts, and I've been getting him pretty much everywhere in my basketball leagues as well. Let's go around one more time and give some more breakouts here. Chu, we'll go back to you.
So I'm going back to the Commanders. Well, I'm going with Sam Howell, quarterback for the Washington Commanders. So he's someone who I really, really wish that the Carolina Panthers would have drafted a full two rounds later instead of picking Matt Corral in the third. And now they have Bryce Young. It'll be fine. I'm not crying anymore, but watching him at UNC, his final two seasons, the one season when it was still having, making guys like, you know, Daz Newsome and De'Ami Brown actually look draftable in the NFL. Now he actually reunites with De'Ami Brown. And then in his final season where he ends up rushing for over 800 yards, really with no weapons to speak of really aside from Downs. So it really just shows his versatility. He's got a big arm. He's pretty athletic. And I think, again, like I talked about earlier with Eric Bieniemy coming into town, and he does have one of the sneakier, more well-rounded trio of receivers in Dotson, McLaurin, and Samuel. So I really think he's going to do well. I think he only got to start one game last season, but showed, again, both sides of what he could do. I think he rushed for 35, 40 yards, pass for a touchdown, rush for a touchdown. So I think he's going to have a pretty tremendous year.
Yeah, he's a great one. I live here in Washington, D.C., and they definitely love him here. They've talked about him on the radio quite often, and they didn't go out and get another quarterback. They went and got Brissett, which is a great backup, but I think they want Howell to take that job and be the guy. And from what I'm hearing so far as camp notes and stuff, he's been playing pretty well. So, and you're right, that receiving corps is really good. I mean, it's one of I wouldn't say the best, but it's one of the better receiving corps in the NFL. Top five, top six, maybe. But yeah, I agree 100%. All right, Ryan, what you got for your other breakout?
Have you ever had your things listed, and then when you're like getting ready to say, you quit believing it? so that's what I'm doing with the wide receiver I had, and I'm completely switching it to Roschon Johnson.
So you got to give us who was your first before you switched to Roschon.
I wanted to say Trey Burks, but I don't believe it. Like I picked him because I wanted to be different.
I have Trey Burks on my list as well.
With Tannehill there, Tannehill just makes me not do it.
Yeah.
Like, I was getting ready to go, talk about him, talk him up. I like skill set for their offense, but that off, I just can't do it. But what I can do is, I believe in Roschon Johnson. I think he's a superior running back to Khalil Herbert, even though he looked good last year. The two running backs between Herbert and Montgomery had 330 carries.
That's a lot.
Roschon's going to just body in that offense. They've actually improved their passing game by picking wide receivers there now. Being that there's going to be more red zone opportunities for rushing, which they really didn't have for the running backs last year, Roschon could be an 8 to 10 touchdown guy in that offense.
Yeah, 100% agree. And we got Jamie, who's the conductor of the Roschon Johnson hype train. He's been driving that train for quite a while this offseason. He's been drafting him pretty high, so he is definitely loving that pick.
I'm gonna have people turn on me real soon.
I was gonna say I do want to shout out my boy Khalil Herbert, a fellow Virginia Tech alumni.
Nice.
So he's got that home run speed, but he definitely doesn't have that Roschon Johnson size. So I do think it's still Khalil Herbert's. It's not his backfield. It's more of like, you know, that having Deonta Foreman in there, having Homer in there. It's just so many people that, you know, can step in and can perform well enough. But there's clearly a couple of guys that are at the top.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. All right, so my last breakout here. So we've done a running back from this team. We did a quarterback from this team. I'm going to take the tight end and just make it a trifecta here. Mr. Cole Turner for the Washington Commanders. Drafted in the fifth round. This guy is freaking huge. He's 6'6", 250. He ran a 4.7 40, super athletic. His speed score on Player Profile is 93% percentile. He's been showing out in camp. I actually liked him a lot last year and put him on my taxi squad in a bunch of leagues. You know, will he end up being the next great tight end? Probably not. But if you're playing tight end premium leagues and you want some late round flyer, I think Cole Turner is definitely an option. He's going to be a huge red zone threat, obviously, with, you know, being 6'6". That's, you know, that's a big guy. They only have, I think Logan Thomas is still there, but he's slowing down. Had that big injury, hasn't really recovered from that. So Cole Turner is my breakout this year at tight end. All right, let's get to our busts now. This is when we get to piss off some people. I love doing the bust segments. We'll go to you first this time, Ryan.
Okay, so this wide receiver is going top 20 right now, ADP.
I already know who it is.
Last year, he was 78th in target separation. He was 62% route win or 62nd in route win rate, 95th against man, 54 against zone. He really struggled on his own. He's 74th in drops, and he's going from a Hall of Fame quarterback to a first year starter in Jordan Love, and that's Christian Watson. Dude, everything about him, like from the analytic numbers, just scream, this is a trap. Like, there's so much. It's like his quarterback rating to him was really high, but he wasn't going to open. That tells me the quarterback is making him win these, not him. Like, he's very reliant on the deep ball, and it's not Aaron Rodgers throwing anymore, man. This is such a freaking trap.
Yeah,
like I'm staying away. I'm steering way clear of him everywhere. And the fact he's going 19th right now is wild.
It's insane. That's not.
I get it because he's the team's wide receiver one, but is he?
Is he? Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is he? It's tough to say right now.
Did you know that was who was going?
I thought you were going with somewhere else, but yeah, I didn't see that one coming. But the other guy you talked about a bunch on the show, I think me and you both kind of talked about him a little bit. But if you get, I won't say him in case you can bring him up. So we'll go to Chew next.
Yeah, so that works out because that seamlessly sets me up for saying Jordan Love. doing these two busts, I initially just thought, you know, with the other ones, I was like, I really want to dive into metrics. I want to look at this. With busts, I'm just like, who on Twitter do I feel like I've heard enough about in a positive way and I just don't believe like it?
Yeah.
You know, Jordan Love, you know, there's been plenty of times where, you know, you do have the quarterback that has sat for, you know, any length of time, usually not the amount of length of time that Jordan Love has, and so you don't really get to see enough of him to get an accurate reading on it. Anything we've seen from him thus far, and again, I'm not a big fan of Christian Watson. I am a big fan of Romeo Doubs, but I don't think good enough to make Jordan Love look like a tremendous quarterback. And, you know, I really think in Green Bay, you know, you have, I would like to believe that they're going to lean more on the rushing attack. I think AJ Dillon's going to be a better running back too for them this season. Aaron Jones is still, he's a stud until he's done, in my opinion. I know he's a bit older, but he's a tremendous back. And I really think with Jordan Love's big arm, I think that's about the only thing that he's got. And I mean, in terms of, I know, I think I'd heard some camp news. He was having some trouble throwing on the run. If you've got a big arm and you can't throw on the run, you better hope you have a tremendous O-line. And I'm not saying they have a bad O-line, but I feel like, you know, with him being pressured, he's got a, you know, a solid division, and I don't think he has enough good weapons to overtake his lack of his deficiencies in other areas. So,
yeah. And Jay in the chat says that he'd take Jaden Reed, the rookie, in round 9 or 10 over Christian or Dobbs. And I think I agree there.
Yeah, 100%. I was about to comment on that comment.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let me do my bust here. And my bust has a little bit of a caveat. I think he's going to be a good player in the long run. But I looked at some redraft rankings just looking at this year, and I was surprised to see Dalton Kincaid in the top 12 for tight ends. I know it's easy to get into the top 12, you know, for tight ends, but a rookie tight end in an offense that already has a pretty decent tight end to begin with, you know, what's his name? I can't think of his name right now. Who's the other Buffalo tight
Knox.
End? Knox. Thank you, Dawson Knox. I just don't see where he's going to have enough to get up to tight end 11 or 12. If it's what he's being ranked at right now. So I think bust for where he's being drafted this year for redraft. I do think he's an excellent dynasty player that'll be a good tight end down the road. I don't know if I could pay top 12. I think Evan Ingram, like Ryan mentioned, I'd take him over Dalton Kincaid 100% of the time. And I don't know why he's going later than Dalton Kincaid. I think the hype has gotten a little too much on him for this year. So he's someone I'm out on for sure for 2023. All right, let's do another bust here. Chu, what you got?
So my bust, and this will probably upset a lot of people, is Rashad White. So in my opinion, the only thing he has going for him is that he is the de facto starting running back in Tampa Bay. And I think even last season, I know both he and Leonard Fournette were not tremendously efficient. That also did not help that the offensive line was crumbling around them. You've got a new quarterback. It's Baker Mayfield or it's Kyle Trask. If it's not Baker Mayfield, then God help Kyle Trask.
Yeah.
But I really feel like regardless of which of those two quarterbacks it's going to be, I have to believe that, you know, they do still have a pretty tremendous duo of receivers in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Kate Otten, you know, came on as a pretty strong tight end, strong young tight end. So I feel like this is more of White's going to get enough overall, you know, volume to necessitate and, you know, finishing as maybe an RB2. But I think his inefficiency is what's going to hold him back, and he's not going to be climbing to the ranks that I feel like a lot of people are kind of putting him towards. He's not going to be a league winner. He's not going to be any of that kind of stuff. So, you know, if you already have him, you know, trade him if you can get somebody that believes that much in him. But honestly, he might be better just to hold on to and just kind of, you know, have him be a flex and be a stable volume guy for you. But
yeah, I've seen Rashad White. He's one of those players that you either love him or you don't. Like you're on one side or the other. And I've seen players like Jamie, I know, is a big fan of Rashad White, who's in the chat with us, and yeah, it's 100%. I think that's definitely a good bust candidate because people are just looking at it going, oh, he's the only one there.
Football team.
Yeah, it's a bad football team, bad offensive line, you know, bad quarterback play. We assume that Baker Mayfield's not going to be any good, you know, assuming he doesn't capture that magic again. So yeah, it's going to be tough there for him for sure. Ryan, what you got for your other bust here?
I'm having the guy who we're all losing our minds over because he ran some footwork drills for his first time back on the field, and that's Calvin Ridley. Like, literally, he was running a freaking ladder, which 8-year-olds run and can look just as good to it. Like, stop it. There's 352 targets going to the top three pass catchers from last year. 352 who are all three back in Christian Kirk, who he loves, Zay Jones, and Evan Ingram. Zay Jones, I know he's not exciting, but he was targeted, and Trevor Lawrence really liked him and trusted him. Evan Ingram, same thing. Where's he fitting in? You have 60% of the targets going to three players already, and Trevor Lawrence spread the ball out very, very well to the rest. I mean, we even have 80 targets to the running backs. Like, dude, where is he getting the ball? He's getting drafted higher and higher. We're doing these Scott Fishbowl mocks, and he keeps getting drafted in rounds higher every week, I feel like. And it's insane. Stop it. He's not better than Christian Kirk at this point in his career. He's almost 30. He hasn't played football in 2 years. Like, let other people draft him. It's crazy.
Yeah, and that's a great point on his age, because people think he's younger than he is. But he came in as a pretty old rookie. Yeah. And
honestly, if he comes out and he balls this year, I will gladly take the L on it, just because the process of him breaking out just doesn't make sense.
I agree. And he's the one I thought you're going with when you went with Christian Watson before. I thought you're going Calvin Ridley, but I agree 100% there. All right. So my bust, and I still have a couple guys left on my list here. So I'm going to want to pick one that's that's kind of hyped up right now. I'm going to take Chris Godwin. I couldn't believe how high his ADP was right now with Baker Mayfield as his quarterback. I just don't see that offense being good enough to support Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rashad White, whoever you want to throw in there. And I think Godwin's the one that suffers the most. I think Evans can still find a way to get his 1,000 yards like he has every year of his career. But Godwin, I think, will be the one that struggles. He needs volume. That offense isn't going to be on the field very long. There'll be a lot of three and outs. The volume's not going to be there. The defense will be on the field a lot. So I just don't see Chris Godwin. I think he's right now as a wide receiver 20, and I don't see him getting that high. He needs that volume, and I don't think he's going to get it. So Chris Godwin is my other bust. I'll just kind of throw it to you real quick, Chu. You got a breakout, a bust, or a bounce back that we didn't talk about that you wanted to mention real quick?
Honestly, we covered all of them between the ones I mentioned or you guys mentioned. I feel like this is, in terms of guesting on a show, doing one of these segments, I've agreed with all of them, and that's one of the first times it's ever happened.
Good stuff. What about you, Ryan? Any player that we didn't talk about you want to mention?
Those were the only ones I had written down. There's going to be a bust out of the Chargers, and I don't know who it's going to be yet. Like, one of those... Either Quentin Johnson or Mike Williams is going to bust this year. I'm leaning towards Mike Williams because I'm just kind of out on him, but one of those is going to be false for us. I'm not going to be sure who, and I know it's kind of a cop-out because I only had two of each written down, but I have very, very much doubts in all of them. I'm not taking any of them.
Yeah, good point. I did have one more bounce back that I wanted to mention. I've talked about him before on the show, but I just wanted to mention one more time. This guy had 147 targets last year and caught zero touchdowns. Deontay Johnson. Yeah, that's
almost made my list.
Yeah,
and I feel like I talked about him recently and I didn't want to.
Yeah, and I that's hard to do. Like I looked at the players with at least 140 targets last year, and on average they caught 7 touchdowns, and this guy caught 0 touchdowns. Maybe his targets go down a little bit, but I do think the efficiency will go up with that offense. I think Kenny Pickett takes a step forward. I think Pickens ends up being a legit threat on the other side. So I think Johnson, maybe he's 147 targets, but he gets more touchdowns this year. And I think he definitely bounces back in a big way for me. So he was the last player that I wanted to talk about. All right. It's time for our last segment of the night.
Get ready for goingfor2.com's Forgotten Fantasy Player of the Week.
All right, Chu, what you got for us?
All right, so, and how many clues do I get to give? Is it 3?
Keep going until
we get it, or until we give up.
All right. Yeah.
All right, so first one is tight end who retired after his 2016 season.
Okay, so I don't have a guess yet.
He finished as the tight end 4 in 2015.
Jason Witten.
Antonio Gates.
Yep.
Okay.
He never finished inside the top 15 for any of the other 7 years of his career.
Ooh. 7-year career, never finished in the top 15.
You'll get it in this next clue, I'm pretty sure.
Final season, 2016. Oh, you got any guesses, Ryan?
I'm going through like different.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of guys that broke out super late and it was a big surprise. And the one is just not coming to me.
He's obscure for sure.
I'm gonna throw out a random name just because it popped in my head. Vasante Shenko.
No, I haven't heard that name in a while.
Yeah. I just remember him having like one good season. I wasn't sure even where it was in his career. All right, give us your next hint.
All right, he played for the Cleveland. He finished his career with the Cleveland Browns.
Finished his career with the Cleveland Browns. So that means that implies that he didn't play for Cleveland Browns originally. And if he finished his career there, that's where he was. That's where his namesake was. Gary Barnage.
Yep.
Ah, yes.
Good call.
Yeah, I was like, who's that other tight end that everybody, like, there's that one that everyone talks about. I can't think of his name right now. He's always
Kellen Winslow.
Yeah, okay. And I was like, who's the other one that was there? Gary Barnage, yeah.
Let's go back through. I was like, holy shit. I remember his season. I'm like, I remember it was that good, but I didn't realize he was that bad the rest of his career.
Yeah, exactly. 100%, yeah.
Yeah, it was that good, like, you forgot that he was terrible.
And he was a Panther to start his career. I was like, oh yeah, I remember when he sucked on the Panthers.
Yeah, see, I don't even remember on the Panthers. I remember him only as a Brown. So that's great one for sure. I love it. All right, fellas, that wraps the podcast up. We'll go around the room as usual. Give us your Twitter handle. Anything you wanted to plug that you're working on? We'll go to you first, Chu.
Yeah, check me out on Twitter at Father Dynasty, and you know YouTube is the same Father Dynasty. You know, check out, you know, weekly. I've got the FF Perspective coming out, just talking Dynasty Fantasy Football, and intermittently have the Father Dynasty podcast coming out, talking to, you know, different content creators about not necessarily fantasy specific stuff, but just life stuff and getting to know everybody. So check it out.
Good stuff. Ryan, what you got going on?
Twitter, Foss534. Find me here Wednesday night, and then find me over at the Rookie Big Board, the Dynasty Big Board podcast.
All right. Good stuff. As always, guys, you can find me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. And if you are in the Scott Fishbowl or hoping to be in the Scott Fishbowl when you are not in our Discord, you are missing out. We are doing literally 20 mocks a day, it feels like, because I got so many mocks that are it's just ridiculous. And we have over 200, I think it's over 250 now, Scott Fishbowl people in the Discord, probably the biggest collection of people that we have anywhere, because I think on Twitter you can only fit 75 in the chats, and so we've got 250 for Scott Fishbowl. So definitely get in there. Also, I want to plug, we have a new show that is going to, it's going to be a pre-recorded show. I'm not sure when we'll release it yet, but it'll be pre-recorded tomorrow. It's going to be called The Fantasy Assessment. It's going to feature Jerry and Raul, and they are going to take one fantasy roster in about 20 minutes. They're going to break it down, talk about strengths and weaknesses, what they like about the team, what they can do to change it, those kind of things. So it'd be sort of a roster breakdown, and they're going to pre-record that tomorrow. I'm thinking probably either Friday or Saturday we'll put it out, so look for that on the Going for Two Live Network. I expect it to be a very good show. It'll be Raul's first hosting gig, so I'm curious to see how he does with that. All right, fellas, that wraps everything up. So for Ryan, for Chu, I'm Jeff, and we will see y'all next week.